Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Leading the Way. And we have a woman leading the way in social media with us today. Our topic is the foundation of marketing success. And with me as my special guest today is the amazing leading lady, Janet Kunst, and she is the founder of Recipes for Marketing Success. Janet, quietly say hello,
Michelle,
to all of our listeners. I want everybody to know you're under the weather today and you're like in here doing this. I really appreciate that because we, you know, always want to know more of what we can know of as business owners and marketing. So I know we're talking about the foundation of marketing success. So I'm going to throw the big question. What is the foundation of marketing success?
Actually, the first place you should start with your marketing is figuring out who your ideal customer is or your target audience is. Because if you don't know that, everything else that you do with marketing and the money that you spend on marketing is going to be useless.
I love that. I mean, that's so foundational, which, again, the foundation of marketing success. It's interesting to me, you know, interacting with as many small business owners as we both do, that when you ask somebody the question of who's your ideal client, how many people stumble with that, you know? And my favorite word, which I laugh at, is when someone will say, well, anybody who, and I'm like, oh, no, nobody can sell to anybody. I'm curious with you, like, do you help your clients kind of laser focus in to their ideal client, or is your expectation as a consulting firm in social media and online presence, do you help your clients with that, or do you say, hey, figure it out and then come see me? Which I know you don't do, but I'm curious, how do you help a client figure that out?
Well, a lot of times, and you're right, Michelle, it's the anybody who, the first thing that I get is the deer in the headlights look when I ask them who their ideal client is, because a lot of people aren't really thinking in those terms. They think that they have to sell to everybody. And my favorite saying is that when you're selling to everybody, you're marketing to everybody, you're actually going to get nobody. And one of the things that I have found is that because of that, people don't always have a good idea of what they should be asking their customers or their potential customers. So I walk them through that, and I help them come up with those questions that they need to ask, and I ask them probing questions to ask to determine what they actually want to do, what their goal is, and help them figure it out together. It's really a process, and it takes time, and over time you may find that your audience changes.
Do you mind sharing a couple of, like, things that you ask clients? I mean, for our listeners out there, it's like, what would be two questions that, you know, any business owner could ask them to go, am I dialed in to my ideal client? You know, do I really have a good handle? Because it's not, you know, people get all up in arms about the idea of the demographics, right, of your ideal client. But what, you know, what are a couple of questions owners could ask themselves for our listeners that will help them dial that in?
So there's several different questions that they can ask. One is, what are the challenges that their potential clients are facing? So ask them, what's the one thing that's keeping you up at night? And usually that will get them a whole litany of things that are really bothering them and they wish that they could solve or have somebody else do for them. The other one is, and it goes along with that, what do you wish others knew about you that would help them better connect with you? And that, and those two questions really, it just gets the conversation going. And when it comes to marketing, it's really all you want to do is make sure that you're in conversation with your audience. Because if you're not in conversation with your audience and you're always selling, the other side of the equation is saying, they don't get me. Why should I buy from them? Because all they're doing is trying to make a sale. So the easier, the more that
I talked over you. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. The more that you know about your customer and the better that you can relate to them, the easier it is for you to actually sell to them. In fact, it truly turns into just a conversation and not a sales pitch.
Right. And I love all this. I think this is, you know, the challenge. Like, we're all told what we should do, but we're not told how to do it. And I think that's, you know, always my take on, you know, anybody out there in consulting that says, hey, you know, you need, you should, you have to. It's like, how do people do that? I mean, like, to me, one tactic I know I had someone share with me years ago, and I absolutely still use this to this day, was from understanding who your ideal client is go have, you know, a good conversation with your really good clients, right? I mean, the ones you kind of trust and you do good business with, and just ask them. And this was one that has been very telling for me, is to just say, you know, what was the reason you chose to do business with me? You know, I mean, hear their words, not yours, because my words are not the same thing of what I think customers want. And that has, you know, literally for 20 years. I mean, is there another tactic that you could share if somebody is struggling with how to find their ideal client? Because I think this is really important. I mean, it is the foundation, but I don't think we talk enough about, other than you should have an ideal client and you need to know about your customers. Like, what else can somebody, you know, try to go gather as far as information to determine their ideal client?
So particularly when you're first starting out, it's really hard to figure out who your ideal client is because you haven't told anything yet. So one of the things that I suggest is that you start, and this is going to sound funny, but you start cyber stalking your competition. And by doing that, you'll see with the conversations that they're having with their customers and the questions that their customers are raising that they're not answering. And if you can start collecting those pieces of information, you'll start to understand the pain points of your potential audience. And then you have to figure out how you're going to address those pain points so that you can do three things, one of three things: either fulfill their needs, solve the problem, or simplify their life. And if you can do that, then you're halfway there.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Tell us a little for our audience. It's like, you know, because you're a smarty pants, I'm going to see that. It's like, tell a little bit about your background, because, you know, you're not just like, you know, whiffing on this. It's like you've been, you know, in the digital online marketing arena for a while. But can you just share a little bit about your background and why you're such a smarty pants and you're awesome?
So I hate to admit this, but I have almost 30 years of marketing experience. And when I started, it's really interesting because to me, knowing who your client is and your ideal audience is so foundational, but it really goes back to the beginning of when I started in marketing. I started as a market researcher. And a lot of what I did was customer satisfaction surveys. And those really are telling us to how companies are relating to their customers. And all you have to do is ask what they want, and they'll tell you. And if you can provide them what they're asking for, you're golden. So that's where my career started. But then from there, what I learned was that it's really important to start talking to your customers in those terms so that they get to know, like, and trust you. And over the years, I've dealt with high-tech companies, retail establishments, contractors, lawyers, and each one has their own issues or challenges. I guess you should say challenges. Nobody has issues anymore. But
I do, but we'll go with that. I totally do.
But they all really come down to you need to connect with your customers as if you're a human being, not just a corporate entity. And that's when they not only get to know you, but they also start talking about you to those around them.
Well, we all want that. I think it's like, how do we do that? But I want to go back on something you said, and that was you were in the business of kind of like looking at customer service and surveys. And, you know, for small businesses, what's your opinion of actually doing a survey with your customers? I'm curious your opinion on that, because I have a definite opinion, but I'm curious what, you know, you recommend, or is a survey, does it give you good intelligence and information?
It does if it's done properly. A survey doesn't have to be some formal questionnaire that has 25 different questions that you're asking. It could be as simple as every time that you interact with your customer, you just ask how it went and you get their feedback. Or if they buy a product, how did that go? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? It doesn't have to sound like a questionnaire or a survey. It's just asking for feedback. And that's really all a small business needs to do, is to ask for that feedback. And sometimes we're afraid to do that because we're afraid of the answer. And we have to get
over that. True. And, I'll tell you one thing I learned. It's like when I start getting, and this is crazy, I mean, maybe there's some different opinions on it, but for me in business, one of the things I love when I started asking for feedback, yes, there was that fear, but I found, this is my third venture for what I'm doing, is that when I started getting critical feedback is when I knew we were growing, because all of a sudden it really pinpointed where we needed to shift and pivot what we did, you know, and I was like, hey, this is good. I want the critical feedback. Don't tell me we're fabulous and wonderful. You know, I mean, some people will and they won't tell you the truth, but I found when the critical feedback comes in, it's like, accept that and say, gosh, thank you, because that allows you to change it up, level it up, you know, next level your business. So, I think this is a question I think for our listeners. It's like, can you share, again, without telling who, but maybe a type of business that you kind of walk them through from the beginning, they didn't know their ideal client, and it's like how you help them find that and what their success was then, you know, with the services you provide in social media marketing and websites and all of that. Can you share an example with a client and how you found success and what was the process with them?
So I have several clients like that. One that comes to mind is actually a travel agency, and they had been just marketing to anybody who wants to go on a vacation, which isn't really where they wanted to be, because they were just getting calls for airline tickets and all that sort of stuff, and just questions about travel. And when it's a two-sided coin. One is, who is your ideal client? But the other is, who do you really want to work with? They can be two different questions. So
right.
I walk them through that process to say, okay, what gives you the most joy in your business? So once we were able to narrow it down to what they really wanted to do and who and focus on as far as planning travel, then we could say, okay, who is the customer that fits that bill that would be attracted to what you're offering. And once we were able to do that, we took it to the next level and said, okay, how are they finding out information about these luxurious travel groups and plans? Are they looking for a custom experience? Do they want to join a group? All that sort of information. And once we got that information, we turned it into their marketing. And what's happened is online, they've actually been able to grow their audiences. They've improved their engagement, and they've really decided that they just want to concentrate on providing those unique experiences for businesses that are looking at hosting extraordinary events outside of the country and providing that unique experience to their audiences.
That's kind of cool. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really a lot what I do. It's really a lot about talking with the client and then figuring out how to relay what their vision is and relate it to their audience so that they can engage with their audience in a more personal way, and then taking that and turning it into sales by directing them back to their website, by getting them on their email list so that they can get them through a sales funnel and all of that back office marketing stuff that has to happen in order to go from acquaintance to customer to raving fan.
Yeah, wow. Are you up for a challenge? May I challenge you? Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay,
I'm scared.
We'll see how this goes. I'm going to challenge you and go, Janet, who is your ideal client? I'm curious. It's like, how do you define your ideal client? Do you mind sharing? And if you say no, it's okay. I just was like, hey, let's see who yours is. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested, and I think our listeners would love to hear the master. Who's your ideal client?
So my ideal client is a small business that is doing well, but they have tried to work on online marketing, and they've tried Facebook or they've tried Instagram, and it's been a frustration for them because they don't understand how to grow their audiences. They don't have time to do it themselves. So they need somebody that can get in there and understand their audience and understand what they do enough to talk to their audience online and start that conversation and keep that conversation going so that ultimately they will go to the client's website and make a purchase.
I like that. And do you have any industries that you specialize in that are really kind of sweet spots for you, or is it any industry or business really? Because everybody's online now and wants to be more online pretty much.
It's not so much industry specific as type of business. So it's mostly small businesses. They don't have a marketing staff and they're just not sure what to do. We'll have that conversation as to whether or not they're ready to do it, because there are some people who jump the gun and they open the doors and don't have a product, don't have a service. They have an idea, and they don't know who their client is, and they're not willing to do the work that it takes to start figuring all that stuff out. That's not a good place for me to start. So it's really those people that need a little bit of hand-holding to get started, and we can get them started, and then we can build from there. So it's really not industry specific. I have clients that go the gamut from construction to lawyers to travel agents, as I was talking about, to e-commerce, to even modeling agencies. So it's all over the place. Yeah.
Even professional associations like women's groups.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Like DWS. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, I'm curious for you, it's like, and for our listeners, just for their benefit, but, you know, what do you wish more small businesses either understood or figured out, you know, as it relates to what you see in success online with digital marketing? I'm curious, like, what do you wish more business owners would, you know, figure out or do, along with, you know, figuring out their ideal client, but what else? I mean, what are the challenges that you see most with small businesses? If they just did this, they would be more successful online.
So here's the one thing that I wish most small businesses would understand. There's not a silver bullet. There's not one thing that you can do that will bring you all the success that you need. It's a lot of little things. And it will happen over time. So there's a lot of patience involved in marketing. You can be a one-hit wonder, but it may take some time to get there. Or if you are a one-hit wonder, you have to figure out what your next project is so that you keep it going. And a lot of small businesses are looking for that shiny object, and that shiny object isn't there. If they're practical and they keep a steady pace, they will get where they want to be. But if they're trying the next best thing in marketing because somebody else recommended it and they didn't do any research to see if it would actually work for their audience and their customer, they're going to be chasing after and spending money that they wouldn't need to spend if they were able to stick with a simple plan and just keep plugging away at it, because in the end, that's what's going to be successful.
Yeah, I get so fried on people that will say, oh, email marketing's dead, or Facebook is for, I'm so sorry to say, Facebook is now for old people, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, what are a couple of the myths that you just can debunk for people that you hear about it, right? That, you know, all you have to do is spend $5 a day on Facebook for advertising and that's going to get you to the promised land. I'm just like, really? So what are some of the things that you think are myths out there that so many business owners just, they drink the Kool-Aid, but I love the slow and steady aspect of that. But what are other things that you see business owners, you know, not really do, or they don't have a realistic grasp of what social media and online marketing can do for them?
Well, I think you hit the biggest one on the head, which is the spend $5 a day and get thousands of leads or something along those lines. That doesn't always happen. And putting together a Facebook ad is part art and part science. And in some cases, it's hit or miss. You have to do a lot of testing in order to get the right ad and to get it to be profitable for you. So that's one. Another is some of the things that people say about each of the networks. So like they'll say that Instagram is only for millennials. Well, the fact of the matter is that over 70% of people on Instagram earn over $100,000 a year. So if you think your audience isn't on Instagram, they're on Instagram. So that's another major one. And then the whole idea that you have to be everywhere is something that keeps people from diving in. My recommendation is always start small and become an expert at either Facebook or Instagram or one platform that you know your audience is on and you can gain traction and stay there until you become an expert there. And then when you have more, you have room on your plate, then you can go to another network. It's not all about how many people are following you or how many likes you get and all that sort of stuff. It's more about the conversations that you're having online. And that's what's happening with all of the platforms, is they're recognizing that engagement is more important than the number of followers. So that's why you're seeing a lot of different things going on in your news feed. People are moving to Facebook groups and all of that sort of stuff. It's because it's about engagement. It's not about how popular you are. It's about the true conversations that you're having with your audience.
And it's interesting because I see so many people that they will, you know, immediately look at how many likes you have or, you know, like I know for YouTube for us, it's like, you know, that's the first thing people bring up all the time is how many likes or, you know, followers you have. And you just kind of go, wow, okay, I got it. I mean, we do. We evaluate it by that. But that's exactly almost like the opposite of what you're saying is, you know, because I remember, you know, a while ago it was all about, oh, just like my page. And I don't see
it
that
was.
As much anymore. But yet that what?
You're absolutely right. And in fact, Instagram is testing hiding the likes. And
oh, really?
I have a feeling that Facebook is going to go that way too.
Yeah.
So you will be able to see who's liking your posts and who's following you on your page, but the public will not.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that, you know, and gosh, we're almost out of time.
I do too.
You know, yeah, I do. Because it's, you know, it is quality. It's just like on LinkedIn. It's not the number of connections you have. You know, it really is one. It's like everybody has a different goal, I think, for LinkedIn,
right,
other than those that, you know, choose to do stupid things on LinkedIn, which always cracked me up how people connect with you and then say, hey, buy from me. I'm like, really? No, that's not going to work.
Right.
But what's the I'm going to give you a challenge again and just say, I want you to think big here. And what's something you can leave our audience with that will make us think differently or, you know, be bolder about our social media efforts and online marketing? It's like, what's the one thing we need to do? And I know it's the ideal client, but in addition to that, it's like, what's something you can leave us with on a high note?
Your customers want to hear from you. So talk to them as if you would talk to somebody you're sitting down to have coffee with. They're your friends. Yeah. It's as easy as that.
I like that. Just gets it really personable, right? I mean, you don't have to think in, you know, like amazing copy and messaging. It's like, be authentic. I love that. I love that. Bam, Janet. And I know you, I hope you're feeling better. It's like, thank you for being on the show today and being our leading lady, because we turned the apple cart upside down today. It was fun kind of to interview you. And this was super awesome with some of the just basic, super awesome fundamental principles of better marketing online. So thank you for that. And thank you to our listeners for being loyal. We are here every single Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific time and Mondays 9 a.m. Pacific time. We are international as a radio show network, and we get excited where we talk about women and women's advancement, how women can lead the way more effectively in business. So to that I say, thank you for joining us. We will be here again on Women Lead Radio, and everyone have an amazing, amazing weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.